What is going on, everybody? Good evening, good evening, good evening. I know you guys are seeing an extra person here. I'll introduce myself. I'm Desai of the Coast to Coast Packers. I got my man, Bernie Bango. And we have probably the godfather, the original gangster, the OG, the pioneer when it comes to Packer content, and the person that basically, I want to say maybe 20 years ago, did start doing something that me and Bernie are trying to do now. Basically,
as you guys are way ahead of the game, if that's the truth. My goodness,
you are. The co-founder of Cheesehead TV, former beat writer, former writer with Gannett and with Packer News, and now he is basically vocalizing all of our feelings on Sundays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Whatever games are being played. And Aaron Nager, thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. How are you, sir?
That's way too kind. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on. Coast to Coast is such a good idea. I can't believe you guys were like, we're going to do Coast to Coast Packers. And it's like a dope idea that just existed out of nowhere. And you guys were like, yeah, that's us. We're just going to be just going to take this awesome idea and make it a podcast. That's a lot of fun. I love that dynamic, dudes.
Oh, man. Appreciate that, man. I feel humbled by that.
it was Bernie's idea, man. It's more Bernie's idea, man, because he's in Seattle, I'm in Virginia, so you know.
That's what I mean, man. Like, you got the whole nation covered. I love it. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. We gotta get the little pockets that you guys miss. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Right,
it is.
Right, right.
We're grasping at straws, man. We're just trying to find.
So, Aaron, you've seen everything's been going on right now in the Packer world. You've seen just like the rest of us, been a fan your whole life, probably since the day you were born. Mm-hmm. What is your mindset when it comes to the state of the Packers right now?
I mean, 30,000 feet, as far as like the franchise goes, I think they're in an amazing spot. I think they're incredibly healthy as an organization and franchise. I think it's exciting given that, you know, we've come off a stretch run of clearly two different types of teams led by all world Hall of Fame quarterback play. Now we seem set to at least enter a phase with another really good quarterback. I'm not ready to say Jordan Love's going to be a Hall of Famer, but you know, that's the most important position, not only in the league, but probably in sports. And the Packers seem to have done a good job of identifying one again. But outside of that, it's just, you know, as someone who is as old as I am, I've been walking this earth for 50 years, you know, I've watched and seen this franchise at one of its lowest ebbs, you know, as like one of the worst kind of stretches that they've ever had. This is not that, you know what I mean? Like, this is definitely a well-run organization that has set themselves up to be, you know, if not incredibly successful, at least viable for the foreseeable future. And I mean, for a team that is situated as like they are, as far as being, you know, the smallest market, not only in the NFL, but in professional sports in North America, for them to be as good as they are kind of defies belief. So, and that's kind of the perspective that I'm always looking at the Packers through, you know, and I know I understand that for people who've only known the Packers when they've been successful, which is a lot of folks on the internet, it's like, I try to appreciate the fact that it's not always like this. It's certainly not like this for all 31 of the other teams in the league. And I just try to savor it, you know, because you never know. The NFL is so cyclical. Yep. It feels like an eventuality that at some point we will go through some real rough times in Green Bay, Wisconsin, when it comes to the Packers. But so far, so good as far as keeping that at bay for the time being.
I couldn't agree more, man. It's crazy to see like the 70s, 80s and what we went through. And then, I mean, I wasn't born until like 81, but even then though, I got a little bit of taste of my youth. But to see us now, when you had those bumps in the road in like, you know, 2018 and, you know, 2022, it's kind of crazy to say like really, and maybe a little bit of 2027, but like, damn, like, I'm sorry, 2017. But really, like, there's not much of like consistent failure as you've seen other teams go through. Right.
The idea that like it feels weird when the Packers aren't in the playoffs. You know what
I
mean? Like, there's a whole generation of Packers fans that feel like it's a birthright to have not only the Packers in playoff games, but having games at Lambeau Field in the postseason. You know, it's like that doesn't just happen.
No.
They have to be a very solid franchise team, what have you, to make that happen. And I like I said, I know a lot of younger Packers fans have experienced only mostly success, right? A lot of success. They've watched the Packers win a lot of football games. And I'm not like, I don't want to like make it seem like, well, you just be happy with what you got. I understand you're fighting for championships, right? It is title town. Like, the idea is to bring that hardware back to Green Bay, Wisconsin. But at the same time, man, there are 31 other teams trying to get that thing. And the fact that the Packers are in the mix each and every year, and the other fact that's just insane is what they spend, like eight games rebuilding, essentially.
That was the best part. It was a tough.
I was ready for a stretch. You know, I was like, okay, a couple years out of the playoffs, we'll be, and they're going to the divisional round. Like, what? That doesn't happen. That's not normal. Yeah. But it's normal in Green Bay at this point.
I was there. I was totally on board with like, this is me rebuilding. I'm just gonna take it with a grain of salt. You know, I'm just gonna watch these young dudes grow. That's what I want to happen this season. Right. And then we're minutes away from the NFC Championship. Like, mind blown.
Absolutely. No question about it. And the thing is, too, is to that point, like, I was settled into, okay, a couple years without the playoffs. We had last year with Rodgers, like, okay, I understand the end of something. Like, and now we're going to turn the page and, all right, we're going to start on a new journey. And I fully expected to be out of the playoffs for at least a year, if not two. And then they go on that tear at the end of the year and get into the playoffs. And I'm like, okay, well, expectations set. Because that's the thing now. You can't go backwards. And here's the problem that no Packers fan really kind of wants to admit, but there's a decent chance they do. There's a decent chance that they take a step back before they take a step forward. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not obviously not rooting for it, but there's every chance it happens. And I just, that's why it's so important. Like, I keep talking about it, to savor it, save the wins, every moment, every game, every season. Like, we're so blessed and fortunate as Packers fans that I try to soak it all in and enjoy it.
I'm one of those feeling super blessed. I just turned 40 this year. So like, one of my very first memories of watching a Packer game was when Majowski went down and fought. Like, that was one of my first memories of seeing the Magic Man go down, and
that's crazy.
And Favre take over, you know? And so it's just like, that's
you when started I came at a good point. That's a good point. It's not a bad spot to come in. Pretty decent time to enter the stage.
But the Brewers and the Bucks balanced that out for me for a long time. So.
I know. How crazy is it, though, that all of a sudden, like, somewhat, the Bucks, you know, obviously they had a disappointing end of their season this year.
Still, like,
with Giannis, they've won a championship for the first time in 50 years. The Brewers at least look like they're figuring it out again and at least, you know, are going to be competitive.
Yeah.
That has not been the norm in Wisconsin. Like, I can tell you, like, you're just intimating right there. It was always like, okay, the Packers are really good and everyone else sucks. That is not the case anymore. That's pretty great if you're a Wisconsin sports fan, no doubt.
Absolutely.
I think that's the crazy part. It was like, you always feel like this kind of balance, like that, you know, the Bucks won the championship, and it's like, okay, so then where are we going to drop off a little bit here? I was like, no, not the Packers. No.
I know anybody but the Packers. Let the Badgers go to hell. I'm not the not the Packers. No.
No, seriously. I can hear Corey saying that right now, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Corey and I are a little more alike in that regard than probably people think, but I'm just not as strident about it as Banky is. He is very much like burn Madison to the ground. I'm like, they're fine. They're great. I just don't care.
You got Bernie over here. He's like, my heart.
I'm a big Badger fan, but I it was a learning lesson. I got a little too excited for the Fickell hire, I think. And
You did. A lot of people did. I think
everyone did.
They thought they had visions of, like, you know, the ball being thrown around the yard, and it's a little tougher than that.
Yeah, I think I also blame TCU for that, because the year before, right, they brought in a new coach and made a run to the college football playoff. And I was like, that's Badgers.
That's going to be the best.
Now,
with their Big Ten roster, come on now. Come on, man. You got to be a little more realistic than that.
You sound like me about the Packers every year. So I don't care what happens. We're going to the championship.
I get it. Hey, man, it's good, but I'd rather, like, be hopeful than, like, cynical and awful about it.
No. Like, negative Nancy stuff, man, I can't do it. I'm just going to be positive.
See, but there's a fine line. See, there's a fine line. And I feel like you in particular, Amar, sometimes every once in a while you fall prey to this. Like anybody being realistic doesn't automatically mean they're being negative. And I understand
there's
a fine line on the internet, like when you're reading something and there's no tone and you're just kind of processing it. But man, there's no problem in saying, like I just talked about, like there's every chance the Packers take a step back this year.
Yeah.
As excited as we are, it's a legit
That's a reality. Like that is a true reality. I agree. Yeah. And I thought about that. Like, I don't want to vocalize. I want to put that out in the ether. But I've always thought, yeah,
right.
You know what? Like,
well, I get that. Right.
And it's okay. I don't need to worry about me saying it because Jason's going to say it. You know, Wildy's going to find out when his hedge is bets and say it, right? So he'll say it for me.
Wildy catching strays. What are we, 10 minutes into this?
No, I love that, man. I love Wildy to death, man. But I'm just saying he's a girl dad like us. He's a good dude. But, like, sometimes he just, you know, he does that stuff. But he's not wrong in thinking that, right? I just don't like the whole, like, you know, like, oh, well, he's only played – 9, 10
X amount of games.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? If you go back and look at Rodgers, Joel said it on your show. He said it too. You know, Rodgers played less games and didn't even get him to the playoffs his first year starting, and they paid him out the wazoo. So I'm like, Love did more with less. And I'm just like, I'm happy with this. Going, Jared Goff just got paid $200 million. Like, come on,
Jared
man.
Goff
what
just
are we doing
got
right now?
Paid.
Yeah. Paid. I'm just saying,
crazy,
like,
man. Like I get that the Lions are hungry, right? They're starving as far as just ineptitude for decades. They finally have a
got
team
something going.
They have they have a stew going, right? They got a little something cooking. But man, they just gave Jared Goff the bag.
Jared
Goff.
Yeah, and then I love Armand St. Brown, but $30 million a year. I'm like, all right, I get that's the market, but wow.
It is the market. But that's the price of being successful. That's the price of doing business when you have good players. That's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, look at all these teams with all this cap space. It's like, great. That means they got crap players. You know, it's like at some point you got to pay people.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that. I have no problem paying market rate. I got no problem paying guys. Like, and here's the other thing. It's always evolving, right? The minute you pay somebody, like Winfield down in Tampa just got paid today, right? Love it. And I also adore the fact that it's like 0.1 more than Jair Alexander.
You did the Trent Williams
to become exactly that David Bakhtiari. Exactly. So it's like, you know, for a minute, yes, you are labeled the highest paid ever. Great. Awesome. Yeah. 5 minutes from now, it's going to be someone else.
Yeah.
Like, that's just part of the gig. So
it's like building a computer, man. It's obsolete the second it comes off the line.
But that's
like,
the point, right? Like, if you get great players or even really good players, you got to pay them.
Yes, exactly. Because if not, somebody else is going to do it. So, you know, you might as well figure out a way to make it work. And I feel you on that. That's why I'm like, I even saw the thing about Jordan where they're like, you know, he's going to wait before he wants to reset the market. Because he knows there's literally three other quarterbacks that are including now, not Goff.
Lined up.
So
yep.
They get paid
up.
There's
a line. There's a line. No doubt about it.
And you know, people are going to freak out. You already know it. Like,
I've been literally tweeting about this since the end of the season. Like, there is going to be sticker shock among some parts of the Packers fandom, which is, I get it. I understand it. It is going to be a lot of money and it is going to be eye popping, right? But it is the cost of doing business and it's smart to get ahead of it. Because that's the thing. Remember when everyone freaked out when the report came out that Rodgers was going to ask for 50 million? Now 50 million is the norm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that was 2 years ago. So, I understand that it is a lot of money and it's so much money that most of us can't even comprehend it. Right? And that's why it does feel like, quote, so much. But as far as the market goes, especially at that position, that's the cost of doing business.
And you already know Russ is going to do it right. He always finds a way to make it work. Like, he just does. Like, even McKinney got signed, well, he was the highest paid safety at that time until Winfield, right? But even his 17 per year, I mean, the way he kind of balanced it out, it wasn't that bad. Like, Josh Jacobs' contract, same thing too. So I'm like,
that's the thing, right? It's always within the parameters of what they want to do cap-wise. For just not only for this year, but going forward, you know, and I understand the pandemic threw kind of a wrench in the works as far as they started doing things they hadn't never done before, but feels like we're coming out of that pretty well. You know, I mean, the biggest hit that they're ever going to take was last season with Rodgers' $40 million dead cap hit.
Yeah.
And they've survived that to the point where they got to the divisional round of the playoffs. So I think they're I think they know what they're doing when it comes.
Thank you.
Cap, you know,
that's why I love like the way Goody. I was like, I tweeted this where he's like, he reverse engineered this thing where he's going to pay the quarterback, running back. Everybody else is on rookie deals,
right?
And we're seeing pretty.
You keep seeing those tweets. I know you do about what the Packers are paying on offense, right? And their wide receiver group is like as a whole, making like $11 million for 2024.
Yes.
Like, and you just paid Amon St. Brown how much?
30, and then Joe you know, Jefferson's gonna get 35. He's gonna get 35
easily. So it's like, to your point, it's like, yeah, okay, people bemoan the fact that they didn't take advantage of Jordan Love being on a rookie deal. Great. Now look what they've done the last two drafts and probably, hopefully, maybe this draft on the defensive side of the ball. They've got a ton of cheap labor, tons of talent with a monster amount of upside that they are paying pennies on the dollar comparative to a lot of their peers. I'm down with it. I love
the coach that I believe in. Halfway.
I mean, I will tell you. I'll tell you what the coaching in general. It's fascinating to watch how they operated last year because prior to last season, there was a lot of like, I'm not gonna say wasn't veteran laden as far as the roster goes, but there were a lot of vets that you weren't teaching, that you were probably reiterating things and honing technique and things of those things like that. But it's not like you were doing a ton of okay, we got to assimilate this guy into the NFL. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they did that in the majority of the offensive roster last year. I'm fascinated to see what under Matt's direction Halfley and his crew do for the defensive side of the ball, because you have to think all those young guys are going to be on the field sooner rather than later. So sink or swim, take your lumps, get the development out of the way, hopefully in the first 6-7 games like the offense last year,
the defense
and just start dominating.
So I got 8 games, man.
I'm fine with that. That's the expectation now, right? You got 7 games to figure it out.
And look, Bernie used to be a special needs teacher, right? So he knows all about teaching. And I think, like you were saying,
so cool, dude.
Oh yeah, this guy's a freaking angel, man. I can't even begin.
That's amazing. Oh, bless you, dude. That's awesome.
I'm saying, if you think about it, what you were saying before on other shows is like, there was no teaching. It felt like there was no teaching aspect being done with these guys. And I felt like there was so much of that because so much growth happened last year that now, like, these guys are going to, the offense is going to hit the ground running, and who knows how the defense, there's a lot of like smart, good players on that defense that have been in the system, like different systems. I feel like it might catch up a little bit faster than what we were expecting. Maybe then I'm
going to be the hope.
Green and gold glasses. You know,
different guys and people learn different ways, right? Yes. And I love the fact that Gutekunst kind of alluded to that at the combine, at his podium availability, when he was asked about some of the testing and things of that nature. But I love the fact that the Packers recognize that. And maybe that contributes to a team like last year where you have a lot of disparate kind of parts that haven't worked together before, different learning curves, etc. Sure seem to gel very nicely down the stretch. Hopefully, like you said, that happens on defense this year.
Yeah. I love to see that. Hey, Aaron, we're talking about Goody there. It seems like Goody definitely has a strategy when he gets into the draft. You know, like last year, he kind of rebuilt wide receiver, tight end room. He went after that defensive line. Obviously, this year was offensive line and safety. I was just seeing if you had a guess at what position group is next year, or two position groups next year, that he's like, let's clean house and start over.
That's a good question. It's hard to say because of where they're at as far as the last three drafts, including this most recent one, have really, I think, formed what Gutekunst will probably consider the core of his team, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
As far as the team you hope is going to make some kind of run and or develop together over the course of these next 4 or 5 years. I can't say I could really identify a team, a position group that would be next as far as, you know, okay, let's draft three of those like they did at safety this year, right? But I will say a good exercise is almost always go and find out whose contracts are up, you know, go look at over the cap or whatever site you like to use, and find out, look at whoever's up contract wise in 2025. There's a good chance, or even 2026, there's a good chance more often than not, Goody's going to get ahead of it. And that's the other thing. It's like, you can have plans. You can say like, okay, we've got these three safeties and we're going to utilize them like X, Y, Z, or we've drafted these guys on the offensive line and we think this guy projects as a guard and he's going to compete here. But man, we all know once the pads come on and it's training camp, A, injuries always shake things up.
100%,
and B, you know, guys you expect to do certain things don't do them, or you expect to develop in a certain way don't, like they take a step back, and that shakes things up inevitably, right? So I think, you know, it's probably a little early to look at that and say, okay, he's definitely going to target this. But I do think, you know, a lot of it will depend on where people rise and fall during the competition of camp, but also like the a number one underlying factor. And this was always, this was true under Ted as well. You look at the contracts and look who's up and you'll see, I mean, it's no mystery that, you know, you draft a Monk out of Duke this year. Oh, look, Josh Myers is going into next the final year of his deal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not always that linear, but more often than not, you, that's a good guidepost. No question.
My hate has gone from Barry to Myers.
See, why you got to hate on him? He played really well at the end of last year.
I just see him.
Root for him. Root for his success.
I root for him in green and gold, but I just okay, fine. You're right. Newman is the one that I hate the most.
Okay. Again, the nomenclature. You don't need to hate on him. You can be disappointed with his play. That's fine. I feel like I'm talking to my kids.
He's a good person.
But you don't. He's a fine. It's not even about he's a good person or whatever. But it's like he is still on an NFL roster. Do you know how impossible that is?
That's
just
true.
From like the moment you're born to the moment you sign an NFL contract. You know how absolutely impossible that is.
Yeah. It's.
You know what I mean? And he's done it.
1%. Yeah. You're right.
So I like, as disappointing as his play can be, do not get me wrong. It's like, it's just hard for me to categorize it as hate.
That's true. That's what you got me here for.
Yeah, that is your gig. No doubt. No question about it. That and the Joe Barry slander, which I will never, ever have a problem with. No question.
We're two peas in a pot on that one.
There you go.
I got a comment here from Heath Soder. It says, if they get quality reps out of Valentine and Stokes, getting a potential slot in Bullard, a true safety in Evan Williams, along with a thumper and Oladapo, will look brilliant.
That's a lot of if. That's a big if. There's all sorts of things that have to happen. I kind of responded to Ross Uglum about this today. It's like, I can see the plan, right? I feel it, and they've talked about it, and like 100%, I'm on board. But man, we all know camp comes and you're like, oh, this guy I thought could do X, Y, Z can only do X and Z, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's it's, you never really know until they get on the grass and you see him against NFL competition. You see him with pads on against those guys. Like, man, and that's who knows how they, as far as like assimilate to the playbook and things of that nature, like guys will have good days and then they'll have a bad week and then they'll come back and have a great preseason game. It's like, it's all going to go up and down. There's no doubt.
And you'll watch Packer fans overreact
to each and every moment.
Each
and every moment. Dude, you got people flipping out about shit that happened in rookie minicamp. Come on.
He got beat on that?
I swear. I was like, literally, I'm so happy I'm in New Orleans right now. And I'm so happy I'm going to be in Barcelona during the stretch of OTAs. Like, I purposely was like, I'm out. Y'all freak out about the nonsense on your own. I'm gonna be gone.
Like, well, Jordan Morgan had a false start. Oh, he's a bum.
He's a bum. He's gonna play a guard. He can't even play a guard. He's gonna false start. He's a bum. Like, I just can't do it.
Oh no, this guy Khan got me, man. I was just saying that I'm one of the guys that's overreacting. That's the only reason why I raised my hand. But no,
Con Crew's my guy. Con's old school.
He's good people, man. I was playing up with him on Twitter. But yeah, no, we were talking about just everything that's going on. Packs, the vibe just feels different. It really does in a really good way, right? And
no
then
question.
That, you know, like just the way people, even like when you watch a softball game, and I mean everyone always has fun in the softball game, but even then, just a lot of smiles and a lot of good times, and it just, I don't know, just. No matter what this team does, obviously I want a Super Bowl. I'm really looking forward to seeing it grow together, which I think like for a long time that they got away from that. Maybe it was more so, oh no, we need to get a championship, we need to get a ring. You know, you want that as a result, but like you want to have fun doing it.
It was tight. It was just tight around.
Yes,
it felt tight. You know what I mean? And the desperation was there. It was about getting back to a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. And I don't, you know, I understand that. Yes, please get back to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. We all wanted that. Every Packers fan in the world wanted that. But it's understandable that I'll tell you, I've never felt more catharsis and or liberation than watching that first preseason game last year in Cincinnati, when every play you could see guys like celebrating and jumping and having fun. And that was like, I was at Stadium View in Green Bay with a ton of Packers fans, and we felt it. Like, it was just like, it was the start of something new, as opposed to desperately trying to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, obviously the odds are long, but it's like you knew there was talent. You knew Aaron was still great. And it was like, oh, can we just get over that hump?
The hump. Yep.
But now it's kind of free, flowing, released. Yep. Like, yes, I love this team. They've got all this promise. It's just a different vibe. And I love it.
Aaron Jones even said last year, like, this is the funnest team I've ever been on, you know? Yep. And so, like, for a dude that ran with Rodgers that long to say that, I was like, that,
it's telling,
it's
right?
It's an indictment in a way.
It's telling. And now he hates the Packers. No, I'm
it's like, I was like, pour one out for Aaron Jones.
Right. Oh, man. Man, that was a rough afternoon.
That was the worst 2-hour
window where we had Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones on the same roster.
What
an era. I mean, I had such visions in my head of just backfield domination. Yeah. And then Aaron Jones
was. It's like Amon Green when Brett Favre broke his.
I was ready to go, man. Yeah, exactly.
Run the ball 100 times a game. Unleash these dudes.
Whole stadium's going to know we're running the ball. It won't matter. Yep. It won't matter.
They will get somebody off the bench. It'll be 13 in the box. No matter.
Man, that's so sad. Just sad.
But yeah, no, me and Bernie were talking about it. And he was like, "Yeah, I think you know Aaron's a pretty big Star Wars fan." I was like, "Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, he's a huge Star Wars fan. Yeah,
a little bit.
He had a couple questions I wanted to ask. That was a good question.
I heard about your interaction with the 504 guy in New Orleans.
Yes.
Oh, we don't call it May the 4th, we call it 504 day.
What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
And Aaron, I went to high school and college down there. He's lying like hell. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, he had just moved. That's the thing. My girlfriend put him in his place.
he's garbage.
He's not a local. He moved there. Like, come on, dude. That'd be like me, like going to some bar in New York and being like, well, actually, New Yorkers say this. Like, I'm from Wisconsin. Yeah, exactly. I love New York. I've lived here 25 years, but I know I'm not a New Yorker.
Exactly.
I'm a big Star Wars fan too, so I loved listening to that interaction you had. But I got to thinking, I'm like, well, Jordan Love was a Jedi. What color would his lightsaber be?
That's really good. That's really good. I gotta think.
You'd appreciate that.
Yeah,
he'd be blue. He'd be blue. I appreciate the green, the Packers, etc. But man, blue's OG. And it's something special because it crosses over from Anakin to Obi-Wan to Luke, and I got to go blue, 100%.
All right. Because, I mean, like, we have that whole master and apprentice thing going on here, right? Like, Brett Favre, Rodgers apprentice, and then Rodgers became a Jedi master, and, you know, and Love was his
Padawan. We had the Padawan and Love. Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, man. I feel it. Definitely. Right.
Yeah, no, that's the vibe I get from you
and
know.
And Caleb Williams definitely has a red lightsaber. No question.
For sure.
Yes.
No question. Little Sith Lord in training.
Yeah.
Lord.
He's painting his nails black right now.
Obviously.
I didn't want to say. I was going to say something. I was like, no,
I'm not trying to talk down on him, man. Like, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, if he's going to paint his nails as a Sith Lord, they better be black.
Yeah, they better be black. I mean,
I
believe that's uniform specific. Yeah.
Yes.
No doubt. Yeah. Uniform compliant. No doubt.
I just had a Phantom and Menace like thing for Tyler to do if we were to beat the Niners. And it would have been like Keegan game is Rodgers. He's all dusted up on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And then Love is Obi-Wan. And then Darth Maul is a Niner.
Comes in and cuts
the Niners. Yeah, strikes him down. And is like, yeah, dog.
He had his chance, and then he threw across his body into the middle of the field when he could have just run for a first
but
down.
Again,
don't get me started.
No, but we talked. I think all of us have talked about this. Where the first thing out of his mouth was like, "I can't do that."
No, yes,
Morrison,
he knows
like,
he can't do that.
Yeah, but the accountability, like it just felt good hearing that. You know, like
I hear it. I mean, here's the
Rodgers
thing:
Rodgers used to do that, and then he kind of got away from
it. We're all in on Jordan Love. We love him. He's the man, the myth, the legend. He's going to get paid $1 billion sooner rather than later. Man, he had a rough fourth quarter in that night.
Yes. Losing Yosh, I really felt like he had like a little bit maybe lost confidence in that line and his protection because
I think there's something to that, no doubt.
Right?
About it. But I don't think that excuses some of the throws and reads and plays. 100%
no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the other pick?
I will say, it's just good to know he's got plenty to work on.
Exactly.
Like as good as he was,
yes,
plenty to work on.
You know? High ceiling.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. Let's hit that ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I was going to say, your boy Khan here, Aaron, says yellow, a balance of combat and scholarly pursuits.
That's okay. That's all new school BS Star Wars. Yeah. That's Disney Star Wars. There ain't no yellow lightsabers. Get out of here with that nonsense. That's for Samuel L. Jackson. You can't just make stuff up. And I know the new ones have the yellow and blah, blah, blah. It ain't that, man. Well, next you're going to give them the dark saber. Like, stop. Right. Just stop.
True North Packers fan says Favre and Rodgers both turned to the dark side.
Correct.
That's
correct. And this is my point. Wait, so I don't want to blow smoke up Jordan's ass, because both Favre and Rodgers experienced like 16 years of people deifying them. Like, true. Jordan's a dude. I like him. I really want him to succeed, but let's not make him into a demigod. Let's just talk about him like a dude. He's a guy.
Yes.
And I love the fact that he started his foundation, all that stuff. Like, support that. I'm all about it. Yeah. But man, he's just a dude playing football. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's all he is. And he's great at it. And he should be rewarded for it. And we're all going to root for him. But God, can we just, if we're going to do this a third time, can we learn from the last two?
Exactly.
Not allow them to disappear up their backside. That's all I ask.
He's what I love about him, he's a really easy guy to root for.
Seems to
story,
be, right?
Right? Like, listen to his story. And then, you know, even Homer was saying this in a couple of shows. He goes, it's funny, when you hear about other guys, you know, like Favre, you heard about Rodgers, other guys too, they always got that story, right? They always got something in their background that, you know, that's it came out of college or whatever, right?
Yep.
Gordon, they say, no one said anything bad about this guy. Nobody. Like, there's nothing there, which is kind of
a lot of ball game left. You never know.
Look, I got you, dog.
This internet age, he probably said something when he was 15 or something. He's going to come back. Just wait.
It's a strong possibility.
Get them all that way.
Yeah, exactly. Internet is undefeated.
Yeah, trust me. I've seen the receipts being pulled at times.
Exactly. Look, I'm not rooting for that, obviously.
No, 100%.
That's my point, though. Like, he's a guy. He's playing football. We love football. I love that this guy is playing football for our team. But that's it, man. He's not, you know, on Mount Olympus. He's just a football player. And I'm really appreciative of his talents. That should be enough.
And I think that's something that happened with Rodgers, that they held him up so high. And once he started.
I'm going to quibble with your nomenclature there. You say they held him up. We did. We did. It's a collective we.
Yeah, that's true.
The franchise does so because we encourage it as fans.
That's true.
Very true. I stand corrected.
He's on the pedestal for me. I ain't gonna lie.
Like, it's not correcting. I'm just saying, like, that it matters, right? It matters how we talk about it.
We put him up there. We did, yeah. And then when we saw see cracks in the foundation, we were the same ones that were kind of like, you know, it's like, well, what the hell is going on here now? Our God is not really godlike anymore. Like, what's going on?
And a chunk of Packer Nation vilified him pretty quickly and pretty harshly.
No doubt. You build them up just so you can tear them down. That's the thing. And it's so funny because I have dudes in my comments, like during the whole kind of episode of when Rodgers was about to be traded, right? Mm-hmm. I saw exchange in the, you know, replies to one of my tweets, like, yo, I thought Nagler hated Rodgers. Like, I don't know, he's come around lately. It's like, no, it's just like, I don't like think he's a god, and I just don't think he's the devil. Like, he's just a guy. Like, I understand he's probably not the guy you thought he was, but he's just a dude playing ball, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, you're really not. You can't either be highly critical or highly praising about anybody without it being an extreme one way or another.
Exactly. Right?
Especially on Twitter. Yes. That's just like the way
especially
it is.
Especially on Twitter. And that's part, that's kind of the internet, but you're spot on, no doubt.
And that's kind of where we are today. But I mean, at the end of the day, though, there's so many good things coming out of 1265. I wish they would do a better job of playing the positional coaches, pressers. But I think Winston Moss ruined that.
It wasn't Winston Moss. I asked actually last week, and they said, you know, the ROI isn't there as far as, yes, 100 people will tune in. But, like, you know, 100. It's really, if that. Oh, please. Yeah. For a position coach stream. Come on, Mark. You and I are sick, and we'll absolutely tune in. But you and like 98 of our friends are all that are tuning in. You know what I mean? So I get it. Like, I understand you and I, like, there are nerds out there will definitely watch every second of anything they choose to stream on their YouTube channel. No question.
Even when the writers like put up stuff that record for like 40 seconds, like when they had Jason Redmond.
You're gonna watch it. You're gonna consume it. No question about it. But on their end, it's like, is this worth getting up and spinning this up and putting this on the channel and getting a thumbnail up and having someone there to stream all this stuff?
It costs money.
Like, would I do it? Should they hire Cheesehead TV to do it and just wash their hands of it? Yes. But they haven't done that yet. Yes. When they do, we'll have everything. But until then, it just hasn't happened.
Oh man. Well, it's all good though, because now we got mini OTAs and mini camp coming around the corner.
And schedule coming on Wednesday. Schedule coming on Wednesday.
Yes. A lot of fun. I can't wait.
I cannot wait. Aaron, I know you were giving us a certain amount of time. I don't know if you still got any more time. You
got
to get out of here.
I got ahead. My girlfriend literally just texted me and I got to meet her. So you're a legend for asking, because I'm sitting here going like, she's going to kill me.
No, no, definitely not.
No, man, we try to respect everyone's time here.
I appreciate it.
Especially when we're covering all the time zones, you know.
I mean, you got coast to coast. You got to do it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us, man. It was awesome. We definitely got to do it again.
Absolutely.
And man, you're the best, man. You are the – you always call Andy the Grand Pumbaa. No, man, you're the Grand Pumbaa, and he's coming up too. But, bro, man, thank you so much for this. We're honored.
I really, really appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good night.
Take care. Go Pack.
Go Pack.
All right. Well,
oh, man, that was good.
Man, hey, first time I ever talked to Aaron, you know – absolute awesome dude, just like he is.
He's good people, man.
Him, like, you know, getting to chat up with him. Great to chop it up with him. I'm looking forward to see what he says about the schedule. I know next week you and I, Amr, are going to break down that schedule as well. So for people listening tonight or listen to us sometime this week, we are going to break down that schedule next week. I'm really looking forward to that. We know week one, we're going to be in Brazil, right? Sometime through that. Through the schedule, right? We're going to have a Thursday night game. Monday night football, right? Yeah, I know you and I, Amr, have been talking about possibly for the Monday night game, since our show's already on Monday nights, about doing a live stream during the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I'm stoked for Wednesday.
I can't wait. It's going to be great. I think we might go a little bit longer, right, next Monday, so we can make sure we cover all the games just to get everything in. We're definitely going to try to sit here and like definitely do live shows of the games. I think the two of us talk about the games as they're going on. It'll be pretty cool. And trying to get some more guests here. We're trying to line up some more people to get on the show. Just try to cover different areas of not just, you know, because I mean, you got people that just some people that do content just like us. And there's our folks that are on the beat. There's people that, you know, just that break down tape and film that know these draft guys that I know the draft was like, you know, over almost a month ago, but there's some people out there that do have a lot of great information about people that maybe we don't still know. And so just really looking forward to it. Maybe we should go through some of these content too. I know these comments, we got some folks here that were going off on this while we were talking. And I was like, man, I didn't want to interrupt the OG over here when he was talking. So I was
I know. I was trying to be mindful. I like this one about from True Fans. The real question is, who hates Anders Carlson more?
Okay. Man, that might be a tie, because Corey really hates him. And I'm okay, you know what? I'm probably up there with him, because I was talking to a buddy of mine who's like a hardcore out. He's from Alabama, hardcore Alabama guy. And he was trying to talk up Anders Carlson. And I was like, dog, he was like one of the bottom kickers in the league. And he's like, nah, man, he was like top 10. And I had to go through all the numbers. And going through all the numbers with him for like 15, 20 minutes, it just reinvigorated my hate for him again. Because it's like, what the hell? Like, this guy was a terrible kicker. And then me bringing Greg Joseph. And the sad thing is, I'm looking at his numbers. He's right there with Carlson. I'm just like, what are we doing? So, you know, I see that kid that's over there in the UFL, wherever the hell it is. I want him to come in.
Was that the kid from Central Florida that left college football because of his YouTube deal, destroying or whatever?
Is that him? Yeah, well, was that him? Bates? Isn't it Bates or something?
I don't know. He I know him from his YouTube name or whatever, just destroying.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Where he got kicked off of this.
Yeah, he had like millions of followers on YouTube, and before the NIL deal, he left his scholarship at Central Florida, I think it was, because they were like, dude, you can't be taking all this money from YouTube, and I think he had like he's like a gamer too, like his Twitch account or something like that. Such bullshit. Now here we are in a day and age where where kids are leaving their university so they can go get a six-figure, seven-figure deal at a different university. So
exactly. So
that's wild.
I'd bring him in. I'd bring his butt in for real. I'd bring him in. I know that punter, the punt god dude out of he was out of San Diego State University. He had all the charges and accusations.
Oh yeah.
And it's still a little gray murky, but he was kind of, I guess, acquitted or not charged.
You picked him up.
I could have swore someone picked him up. I just don't know who.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking of it. Soder is my man. He always pulls me up on this.
I think it might have been the Chiefs, because when
I wanted to say the Chiefs.
And that's, when the Chargers were dropped and the Chiefs picked him, I'm like, of course the freaking Chiefs. Like,
after all this stuff with Rashid Rice, Ray Rice, I'm like, dog, like, oh my god, like, oh. And I mean, the things that are coming out now, it seems like the red flag's already there, reason why he fell on the draft. And it's funny because like Eli Berkowitz had put this up there too, where he had posted like people are really pissed that the Packers picked Jaden Reed when Rice was still on the board, right? And yeah. Not saying that this probably played into it, but I guarantee the Packers did their research and they saw, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on here? Like, this guy might have some – suppose that he was taking off 28 teams' boards because of all the stuff he had going on at SMU, I believe. Was it SMU? I think it's SMU. And so, yeah, man, like, anyway, I'm happy with Jaden Reed.
About the punt god?
Was it Jade vibe? I know. No. I'm happy with Whelan.
He punted at San Diego State University, right?
San Diego State, yeah. Yep, that's it. Yep. Yeah. And then Buffalo drafted him, and then – drafted him or picked him up, and then they cut him because of everything that happened.
Yeah.
And I just swore now he's – you might be – I think the Chiefs did get him. Because they had Trey Waynes, and I think they may have cut Trey is what it was. Because they – you know, because he was getting too expensive, right? But, yeah, man, no, man, that was a good show. That was great having Aaron on here. And I'm really just like – I'm honestly like we may need to do an emergency show if Jordan gets his contract this week. I'm just pointing it out.
Man, I didn't get a chance to ask Aaron. I know you talked about it, but numbers. Like, I wanted to ask you, what numbers do you think are going to drop? You know, when we see that, like,
he had Joel Corey, who's a former agent, on his show, and I guarantee he probably either quoted what he said or he's going to just say, whatever the market is, it is, and they're gonna get paid. And he goes, he probably says, I don't care. I want him to get all the money, because at the end of the day, someone's gonna beat it out anyways. Oh, it was the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a comment earlier too that I loved. Just said,
Johnny,
just three dudes chilling. That was my favorite comment of the night, because dude is one of my favorite words, and it always will be.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. And Johnny, good people, man. He works with Tom Grassi, and he does all Tom Grassi's camera work. Yeah, he is a really, really, really good dude, and very extremely talented too. So I appreciate the kind words, because that's all that was just, you know, three dudes, just three Packer fans, like everybody that's here watching, just talking about Packers and just, you know, either commenting, debating, arguing, whatever the case may be. I love it, and you know, that's what we're here for, right? And I wish more people would comment on whatever platform you're watching, so we can see it and so we can, you know, be able to put you up here and we can talk about things that people have on their minds. Because you're right, the numbers when it comes to Jordan Love, I mean, if you're looking at Goff, who's like at what, like 53, and I think Burrow's at 55.
Yeah.
Like the post that came out was about how Jordan wanted to like reset the market, or he's not fearful of resetting the market. It was something to those lines. So
yeah.
Like Soder just said 56 for 5. I can see that. I can see him just going just a little bit above what Joe Burrow's getting paid right now, right? But he's smart. Wow. He's probably gonna wait. He's gonna wait for Tua. He's gonna wait for Dak. And then there's two more quarterbacks, I think, that are gonna get paid too, right?
All right.
He's probably gonna wait for those guys to get their money and then get his money. Or because the guy that's his agent is David Mugeta. And David Mugeta has been just getting everybody bank. He's the one that brokered this deal for Antonio Winfield Jr. So, yeah, you already know he's gonna be like, hey, Jordan, just wait, man. The money's gonna keep going up. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I think it gets a little tricky, because it's like, you know, Packers are gonna pay him, but it's like, you know, I honestly, because the way the cap keeps going up, I don't really know what is or isn't an unrealistic number anymore.
Yeah. They seem cartoonish at times, and I have to remind myself this is just the market we're in now.
Yeah. Also, but, guaranteed money too plays big into it, right? Like whatever that full contract number, they don't normally get all that money anyways. You know, they get like 80% of it sometimes, right? And, only guys like Kirk Cousins gets like fully guaranteed contracts. And mediocre play, but.
Yeah, and you wait to see like where they're going to get that money, how much money they're getting early in their contract, or is it going to be back ended? You know, like on the back end of the contract. So I'm curious to see how it come out and but I'm going to be probably in the space where I'm like, hey, he's earned it. I want to roll the dice on this guy, you know, and. I'm stoked. I hope we don't take a step back. I know it's a very real possibility, you know.
It's a scary thought.
It's a rebuild on the defense. Like I can't see the offense taking a step back, honestly, which might sound frustrating that the defense could take a step backwards.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that though, right? Because the coach players.
Yeah. So I think they'll like Aaron was saying, 7 or 8 games, they're going to figure it out on defense. And everything you've been hearing about players that have already played for Halfley, they're like, he's a dude. Like I would, you know, charge the gates of hell with him. Like, you know, they have so much to say about him. So I think there's going to be a lot of buy into what he has to say. There's going to be a lot of teaching moments. There's going to be a lot of learning moments this next season, but I have faith this defense could be like the offense, right? Halfway through this next season, they figure it out. And if we're floating around 500 and all of a sudden the defense figures it out, that's where we want to be. Give me another hot ending to the season and playing our best football when playoffs start.
I mean, I think one thing that we can take away from the fact of what Jeff Halfley's impact has had on the team is Jair Alexander. Last year, he was barely here. He wasn't really the Ja that we really know, right? I mean, just remember the Jair that we saw when he got drafted in 2018. This guy was all smiles, just real chill. And the amount of joy and, like, admiration he had when Lamar got drafted in the first round. Like, he was so happy for his boy, right? And then you saw that in 2018. You saw that in 2019. You saw that in 2020, right? And then, you know, when kind of Barry came, he got extended, don't get me wrong, but he also got banged up too, right? And that kind of – and then all – it was like a slippery slope. But he has been there – every single day. He was there 2 weeks, I think 2 to 3 weeks before he was required to be there. So he has a monstrous like workout bonus, like $700,000 for just to attend the workouts, right? So he didn't have to be there 3 weeks in advance, but he was there 3 weeks in advance working with the strength and conditioning coaches, working with the staff, working probably with Halfley. So to see that kind of buy-in from a guy who literally people were talking about trading, talking about, we don't want this rogue, we don't want this like this guy that's like a variable, he's just like a, he's just doing his own damn thing, he's a captain when he wants to be a captain. I don't know, it just that vibe. That's what I was telling, like when we were talking with Aaron, I was like, that vibe is just different now. Like he's sitting next to McKinney every single day in all in the meetings, and just his buy-in. Like if a guy like him has confidence in this, when he was very vocal about how he didn't like Barry's system and scheme, I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say when they start doing like the player interviews. I really can't wait to hear what he has to say. Because when he was interviewing too, he was a different guy. He wasn't the same guy we saw when he was first drafted. You know, like he just was, you know, he was just really, I feel like he was just beside himself and he wasn't just happy with everything. And he was getting a lot of shit on social media and got elsewhere, like about questioning his heart and his play. And I don't think that he appreciated that, right? So,
I felt like he might have been checked out at times last year. And then, like, there was people griping about how long it was taking back from his injury. But, like, if you're not liking what you're doing on the field, like how much do you want to rush back like to possibly get injured even more? So I feel like I was all on Jair's side last year. Like take your time, do your thing. I didn't take any
of your head right
behaviors or thing he said, because I know as a young man, at times, whether it was in my jobs or my military career, when I had incompetent bosses or people that were higher than me in the chain of command, it's like, you get irritable. You say things that you don't want to say. You question your leadership, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is something that happens in every workplace. It happens in every workplace in America, you know? So we know that the Joe Barry fire might have been a case of nepotism. And so I have no quarrels with Ja. And I love the fact, like, you, all the things you pointed out, Ummer, about how he's in, he's bought in, he's locked in, showing it with his words and his actions.
Yes. It's easy to talk game. But your actions is what really show it. And doing stuff like that on things that you don't need to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, I don't know. It just means a lot to me, because that's the Ja that I know. That's the Aaron Rodgers we knew before all the shit hit the fan. He attended every single OTA and all that stuff. And yeah, man, I just like the way this team is getting together, and the fact that they're growing together. And I mean, even the fact that, even though I know Aaron did this too, but Jordan Love reached out to every single one of the rookies and calling them and welcoming them to the team and letting them know, hey, you know, my name's Jordan Love, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just, you know, making everyone feel like, hey, guess what? Like, that family thing that you don't really see in corporate America very much, right? You're seeing that right now, where, like, a lot of just like, hey, man, this is real. Like, we care about each other. And our goal, we all have the same goal, you know, to get better, to get paid, and get a Super Bowl, right? So, and the truth is, like, the more successful your team is as a whole, everybody on the team benefits from that, right? As long as everyone is, like, doing their 1/11th, as Matt LaFleur says, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get yours. You just got to do your part. That's it. And I feel like a lot of times on defense last year, we didn't see that. A lot of people just trying to take care of their shit, you know what I'm saying, or not get exposed or whatever, you know, and we're not going to see that anymore.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I want to just respect everyone's time. And, you know, that kind of wraps it up for us here on Coast to Coast Packers. Thanks for dropping in on this episode. I hope you are here in time to catch our guest, Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV. Just an awesome dude, man. Thanks for lining that up, Ummer. And like you said, we're going to get some more guests. Next week we'll be breaking down that schedule. Any other you got any last words for the fans there, Ummer?
Oh man, I'm just very appreciative and honored that Aaron decided to bless his presence with our show. And it was a great conversation. Definitely looking forward to having more conversations with him, with you. Can't wait to break down the schedule. And just the folks that are in the comments, thank you for all the comments. I know we normally do try to almost get to everybody's comments. Today was a little bit different. So we'd love to see you guys here next week, and we'll probably try to do a better job of making sure we get your comments on. We try, you know, answering questions, comments, and just laugh at some of the shit y'all say, because y'all be saying some funny stuff. Hey man, I love Packer Nation. Love all you guys. And looking forward to his new schedule release on Wednesday. And also if there's things you missed, please like, share, subscribe to your channel, and then we get the podcasts of the show on Apple and on Spotify. We should have that out hopefully by tomorrow. So if you guys want to hear our stupid voices all over again, please do.
Right on. And as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, baby.
All right. Peace.